For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Shalom, and welcome to the Everlasting Nation Broadcast, a radio ministry of International Board of Jewish Missions in Hickson, Tennessee. I am Aaron Broughton, your host for today, sitting in for Mr. John Lawrence. With me today, we have the privilege of having Brother Ed Frampton, who serves as the president here at IBJM. Welcome to the program, Brother Ed.
Thank you, Aaron.
Well, it's interesting to see IBJM's heart for the Jewish people, but I think you would say that IBJM really has a heart for the local church, and this was really something that Dr. Jacob Gardenhouse, the founder of the mission, had. Can you maybe tell us a little bit about your thoughts about Dr. Gardenhouse and his heart for the local church?
You know, I first met Dr. Gardenhouse when I was a young man down in Florida, not long after I was saved. And hearing his testimony, anyone that heard the testimony of Dr. Gardenhouse would just be touched. I can remember sitting on the front bench of that church down in Florida, just weeping as I listened to it. But one of the things that came out clearly in his testimony and his preaching was that he really believed that the responsibility for reaching his people, according to the flesh, the Jewish people, lay squarely at the door of the local church. He was, even many years ago when he was a young man in the 1920s. He was the president at that time of the International Hebrew Christian Alliance. And he gave an address overseas called The Jew and the Local Church. And it was a wonderful message, but not always well received, because it wasn't really in vogue at that time. People did not really believe that it was necessarily the responsibility of the local church, but maybe specialized groups to reach the Jewish people. And so he kept that all the way through his ministry. He believed in it firmly, that it's the local church that has the responsibility for reaching the Jewish people with the gospel.
Well, here we are now, several years later. Obviously, Dr. Gardenhouse went to be the Lord back in the 80s. Here we are in the 21st century. So where does Jewish missions fit in the local church today?
The church today needs to realize that they have a responsibility to reach, through the missions program, the Jewish people with a priority, as the Apostle Paul wrote in Romans 1:16, that is to the Jew first, and that has not changed biblically. So therefore, when the church today looks at their mission program, they need to look at it by saying, how are we reaching the Jewish people around the world?
Well, I'm sure there's some listening today that might know of a Jewish neighbor, a friend, a coworker, something like that. Here they are, part of a local church. Now, what would you say to those? Maybe there's something that IBJM can assist them in helping them reach their Jewish neighbor with the gospel.
Well, you know, IBJM has always had a part of their ministry is to go into the local churches, not only to try to raise the awareness of the need for reaching the Jewish people with the gospel, but also to put tools in the hands of God's people in order to effectively do that. You know, one of the things that we emphasize is that we need to encourage our people to pray. Pray that God would give them divine appointments with the Jewish people in their community and around. So pray for divine appointments. And then the preparation of having good literature and Bibles and things that we can help to supply to them so that when God makes those appointments, they know what to put in the hands of the Jewish people to lead them toward the Word of God. But also, I think very important, is training. And we offer Jewish evangelism seminars that we come in. It can be one day. It can be one Sunday. It can be 2 days. And those seminars are very, very important because they help you approach different subjects and maybe objections and things that you might run into, and be able to give a biblical, loving answer to Jewish people as they begin reaching out. It gives you confidence that it's not impossible. It really is quite possible to reach the Jewish people with the gospel.
Well, wonderful. That, I think, is great advice to all of us, reaching Jew and Gentile with the gospel, as you've said. And IBJM is here to help. For those who are interested, you can contact us here at our home office. You can call us at 423-876-8150 or visit our website at ibjm.org for more information. Now, with this in mind, let's open our Bibles and hearts as we study together with our teacher and Jewish believer, Brother Mark Oshman.
Welcome back to this final session about Jacob's deathbed prophecies, contained in Genesis chapter 49. In this segment, we will consider the blessing that Jacob bestowed upon Joseph. Jacob did not assign Joseph the family birthright, which had been taken from Reuben. The birthright belonged to Judah. However, Jacob did bestow the double portion of blessing upon Joseph, that is, a bequest that fathers generally gave to their firstborn sons. According to Genesis chapter 49, Jacob described Joseph as, quote, a fruitful bough, even a fruitful bough by a well whose branches run over the wall, unquote. He employed the same Hebrew word for fruitful that occurred in the first chapter of Genesis, when God commanded Adam and Eve to, quote, be fruitful and multiply, unquote. That same word also occurred in God's benediction that he gave to Abraham in Genesis chapter 17 and to Jacob in Genesis chapter 35. Perhaps by describing Joseph as fruitful, Jacob alluded to that tribe's propensity for success. Joseph himself, as a slave, brought prosperity to Potiphar and to the Egyptian jailer. The residents of Egypt benefited from having Joseph in charge of storing and maintaining the country's grain supply. At the birth of his son Ephraim, as recorded in Genesis 41, Joseph acknowledged that, quote, God hath caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. Jacob's prophecy about Joseph turned from promises of abundance to predictions of persecution. Jacob said, quote, the archers have sorely grieved him and shot at him and hated him, unquote. Joseph himself faced numerous adversaries over the course of his early life. His own brothers threw him into a pit before selling him into slavery. Joseph lived for years in a country whose language, customs, and culture differed widely from his own. After Potiphar's wife tried to entrap him, she falsely accused him of trying to assault her. While Joseph stayed in an Egyptian prison, according to the author of Psalm 105, the authorities fettered his feet and laid him in irons. Even after his rise to prominence, Joseph might have had to contend with enemies in Pharaoh's court, foes who became jealous at him over his swift rise to power. Note that Jesus Christ told his disciples that something similar would befall them. In Mark chapter 10, he said, quote, there is no man that hath left house, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my sake and the gospel's. But he shall receive an hundredfold now in this time, houses, and brethren, and sisters, and mothers, and children, and lands, with persecutions, and in the world to come eternal life, unquote. Where God provides blessings to his children, he also brings testing to them. Notwithstanding Joseph's trials, Jacob added that God would strengthen Joseph and make him prevail over his enemies. Here were the words that Jacob used, quote, his bow abode in strength, and the arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob, unquote. The narrative in Genesis gave no indication that Joseph ever wavered in his faith, despite his trials. God, described in Genesis chapter 49 as, quote, the shepherd, the stone of Israel, sustained Joseph throughout those times. As God declared in the 41st chapter of Isaiah, quote, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness, unquote. In that sense, Joseph functioned as a precursor to Jesus Christ. The Savior also remained steadfast during his sufferings. The 50th chapter of Isaiah prophetically addressed the subject, quote, I gave my back to the spiders and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting, for the Lord God will help me. Therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed. Unquote. The author of Hebrews in the 12th chapter of that epistle held up Jesus Christ's resolution as an example for his followers to emulate. He wrote, quote, consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds, unquote. Jacob alluded to God as, quote, the shepherd, the stone of Israel, unquote. The context of his statement indicated that the term Israel referred to the Jewish nation as a whole, not merely to Jacob as himself. Note that Jacob, who had earlier referred to God as the God of Abraham and the God of Nahor, and had taken an oath by the fear of his father Isaac. Note that Jacob had come to a fuller knowledge of God over the course of the years. God shepherded Israel by leading that nation. Moses described how he did so in Deuteronomy chapter 32. Quote, "As an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them, beareth them upon her wings. So the Lord alone did lead them, and there was no strange God with him." Unquote. God shall feed his flock like a shepherd. Quote, "He shall gather his lambs with his arm, and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young." Unquote. A statement recorded in the 40th chapter of Isaiah. As the stone of Israel, God served as the foundation of the Jewish nation. In Psalm 18, David referred to God as, quote, "my rock and my fortress, and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation, and my high tower," unquote. According to the second chapter of Ephesians, Jesus Christ serves as, quote, "the chief cornerstone, the sure foundation upon whom God established his church." Jacob stated that Joseph would prosper, quote, "by the God of thy father who shall help thee, and by the Almighty who shall bless thee with blessings of heaven above, blessings of the deep that lieth under, blessings of the breasts and of the womb," unquote. Moses' benediction of the tribe of Joseph, found in Deuteronomy chapter 33, Moses' benediction of that tribe echoed Jacob's words. Moses said, quote, "Blessed of the Lord be his land for the precious things of heaven, for the dew and for the deep that coucheth beneath, and for the precious fruits brought forth by the sun, and for the precious things put forth by the moon," unquote. Jacob asked God to grant Joseph's descendants blessings of heaven above. The term heaven in this context probably referring to the earth's atmosphere. This request might have included a request for sufficient and timely rainfall on that territory for crops to flourish. Jacob prayed that Joseph's progeny might receive, quote, "blessings of the deep that lieth under," unquote. This expression might refer not only to riches contained in the ocean, such as seafood, but as to precious materials found under the crust of the earth. The expression "blessings of the breast and of the womb" denoted fertility and population growth. Jacob concluded his benediction in Genesis 49 by saying, quote, "The blessings of my father have prevailed above the blessings of my progenitors unto the utmost bound of the everlasting hills. They shall be on the head of Joseph and on the crown of the head of him that was separate from his brethren." Moses added similar words in Deuteronomy chapter 33 when he said, quote, "Let the blessing come upon the head of Joseph and upon the top of the head of him that was separated from his brethren," unquote. How did Jacob's deathbed prophecies compare with the benedictions given by his progenitors? The narrative of Genesis contained no record of Abraham ever bestowing a parental blessing on Isaac. When Isaac blessed Jacob in Genesis 27, his blessings were as follows, quote, "God give thee of the dew of heaven and the fatness of the earth, and plenty of corn and wine. Let people serve thee, and nations bow down to thee. Be Lord over thy brethren, and let thy mother's sons bow down to thee. Cursed be everyone that curseth thee, and blessed be he that blesseth thee." In one sense, Jacob's words in Genesis 49 reflected that benediction that Isaac gave. Yet Jacob did not promise that Joseph's descendants would exercise dominion over their brethren. Indeed, God did give that blessing to the descendants of Judah, not those of Joseph. This session concludes our series about the deathbed prophecies of Jacob in the 49th chapter of Genesis. Again, thank you for listening, and please tune in for future radio broadcasts.
You've been listening to the Everlasting Nation broadcast, a radio ministry of International Board of Jewish Missions. For more information, you can write us at P.O. Box 1386, Hickson, Tennessee, 37343, or call us at 423-876-8150, or you may also go online at ibjm.org. Until next time, may God bless and shalom.